Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. As we celebrate Father's Day today, I wonder if you might remember some of the wisdom that your father shared with you, lessons that your father taught you, advice your father gave, things you learned about the world because your dad taught you. Robert Fulghum wrote a book that was called All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, but I think most of us learned a whole lot more than that those first 5 years of life when we were being nurtured by our parents at home. And most of us have continued to learn quite a few things about our parents since then. I wonder, and this is a sermon that you're helping to write right now, I wonder if you could share with me or with all of us, something your father taught you. For example, my father, from when I was just a real little bitty shaver, taught me about foraging. We would go out, usually at the first part of July, and we would find all kinds of raspberries and blackberries wild. He would take me out in the summers into meadows on hikes and teach me how to find wild asparagus growing. Loved to plant walnut trees so that there would be walnuts for black walnut cookies that his aunts used to make for him. Taught me how to find morel mushrooms in the spring, the elusive morel mushroom. He always tried to talk me into eating some other kinds of mushrooms, but I never fell for it. It's like, I'll eat morels because I trust those, but none of the other ones. How about you? What'd your dads teach you? Anybody? Oh, anything doing is worth doing well. Absolutely. What else? I bet others have heard that lesson too. What else? Have one? Oh, yes. Your dad taught you how to milk a cow. Yay! My dad taught me how to change a tire, and that came in handy. One time I was in the blue jeans, he was in the suit, so I got the lesson. Teachable moments. How to milk a cow. What else?
Be kind to your little brother.
Be kind to your little brother. True confessions, Pat. Be kind to your little brother. What else did Dad teach you? Yeah, Joe. How to play horseshoes. So how to play some games. Do you still play horseshoes today? Oh, great. What else did your dad teach you? Think about that. Other things your dad taught. Taught you how to drive a stick shift. Mine too. Boy, that takes the patience of Job. But we'll start our series on Job in just a couple weeks. What did your dad teach you? How to repair things. Can you remember the first thing that you fixed with your dad?
A lawnmower.
A lawnmower. Good skill. And you're still very mechanical today. Oh, anybody else have one you want to share? Yes. So Dad taught you to pay attention to what's out there. Yeah, my dad's the one who taught me how to recognize a maple tree from an oak tree, from a birch tree, and to appreciate flowers. And he tried to teach me a little bit about gardening, but it didn't stick. Oh, I hope that today, as you think about the dads who brought us into the world, that you'll be mindful of all that you've learned from them. But I think as we celebrate Father's Day today, I'm mindful of the fact that it's tougher raising up kids today, maybe than ever before. I think about Mike and Britta raising Henry. He's just coming into the world right now, and what the world looks like. It's a lot different than when we brought our son into the world 20 some years ago, or when I came into the world, never mind how many years ago that was. I don't know about you, but I was absolutely stunned when I left worship last week and I heard the news of what had happened in Orlando, another tragedy where innocent people's lives were ended in an act of hateful violence. It's as if in the world, and in our country maybe especially, we've forgotten how to live with people who are different from us. We move so quickly to condemnation when we come upon something that's different or some piece of disagreement. We fail to focus on reconciling to other people. We keep score of the wrongs that have come toward us, whether they're real or just perceived wrongs, and we act from a worldview that is so narrow, there's no room for other points of view to get in. Firearms have become our mainline means of resolving conflict, even if that means that in the end, everyone loses, not just you. But we don't want to teach our children to live like that. Our children need to know a better way of being in the world. We need to raise up children who know how to invest in reconciliation instead of leaping so quickly to condemnation of the other who's different from them. Desmond Tutu says, "Differences are not intended to separate, to alienate. We are different precisely in order to realize our need for one another." The Apostle Paul, who's the spiritual father for all of us, provides a window through which we might see a way forward in times of conflict that doesn't add fuel to the fire, but rather leads to reconciliation. He, of all people, would know the damage that's inflicted by throwing gasoline on a fire. He lived a pretty incendiary life before his conversion to Christianity. He was the one who used to spew fire and who used violence to stop others in their tracks when he disagreed with them. But through his conversion, he came to see himself as a new creation, no longer living for himself, but rather living for the one who died and was raised for him. His life of persecuting Christians gave way to a life of pursuing Christ and loving the ones that Jesus loved. Paul tells us that all of us who have been reconciled to God through Christ now bear the ministry of reconciliation to others. We're bearers of reconciliation. That's who we are. That's our DNA as Christians. We may wish that Christ didn't choose to depend on us as his ambassadors, but he did. We, all of us, are called to live new lives in Christ. New lives of reconciliation instead of the life of condemnation that the world tempts us to live. We who are Christian are not supposed to keep score. You should never ever hear a person who knows the forgiveness of Christ condemning another. That just shouldn't happen, but of course we're sinful creatures, and it does. A Christian senator tried to make light of Obama's shortening term in office by referring to a psalm which all of a sudden led the whole country to think that he believed or wished ill for the President of the United States of America. Members of a Christian church are threatening protests at the funerals of those who were killed in Orlando, inflicting further pain on families who are still reeling in the tragedy of what happened in Orlando last Sunday morning. A Twin Cities pastor I heard from a colleague condemned a mother for her child's rape as she sat in the pew of his church seeking God's comfort for the suffering that her child had endured. Those are mistakes, friends, mistakes of seismic proportion. Being in Christ doesn't make us more righteous for the sake of judging others. It becomes, as James Dunn said, the starting point and base camp for a quite differently motivated and directed life. When we come into conflict with others, we need to remember that Christ doesn't inoculate us against difficult relationships. He gives us the strength and power to be reconciled in spite of our differences. When I think about how inflammatory the rhetoric of our politics has gotten and how trigger sensitive all of us are in our daily lives, I think we all need to be better equipped to diffuse rather than escalate situations when things get a little hot. And our dads may have given us the key. How many of your dads taught you, or how many of you learned at an early age that thing about what to do in a fire? What are you supposed to do? Three words, right? Stop, drop, roll. You know this. The adults who cared for us taught us something to keep us safe in a fiery situation. I think those three words can help us alleviate a lot of suffering in the world if we used those same techniques in our relationships to de-escalate situations in which we find ourselves, so that we might move away from condemning the one that we disagree with and move toward a ministry of reconciliation, the ministry to which God calls us. So think about it. First, stop. Pause. When you start to feel yourself getting a little bit hot around the collar, stop yourself from acting out of anger. Stop your trigger-sensitive nature from leaping somewhere you know you shouldn't go. Stop long enough to imagine a different alternative, a different way of moving forward instead of defaulting to anger and judgment, which is so easy when we're tired and stressed out and fed up and overloaded. Stop. Next, drop. In a fire situation, you're supposed to drop to the ground, get to the lowest point. Well, if we think of drop as in drop to your lowest common denominator, drop to a level where you're humbling yourself. Drop your guard. Drop your defenses. Drop your need to be right. Drop your need to be in control. Trust that God is in control and you don't have to be. There's a 14th century mystic, Meister Eckhart, who once said, "The spiritual life is not a process of addition, but rather of subtraction." In our relationships with others, we need to subtract our judgmentalism. We need to subtract our anxiety. We need to subtract our ambition. We need to subtract our fear so that we might be able to enter into their reality instead of being imprisoned in our own sinfulness. And finally, roll. Roll to put out the flames, right? Roll yourself up in a rug to protect yourself. Roll in inflammatory situations with the other person for a while. Try to see if you can get a feel for what it's like to walk around in that person's shoes. As St. Francis said, seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. Maybe knowing where the other person is coming from will help you see things you've never seen before. Maybe you'll be able to begin imagining ways of being together where you reach out and help and support and advocate for them instead of trying to bend them into meeting your needs or expectations. Stop. Drop. Roll. Try that this week or next week or the week after if you find yourself in any situation that starts to heat up and see if that advice that you learned as a child can continue to serve you well now. That's the point that Paul's trying to make. We are called to see in a whole new way. In Christ, the old has passed away, so let's let it be gone. Our prejudices, our stereotypes, our misconceptions, they are not part of our new existence in Christ. And if we can imagine ourselves, our enemies, and this old world transformed by the death of Christ, we will be able to deal differently with one another for Christ's sake. And as we continue to be God's ambassadors, the world and we will become new. Thanks be to God.